Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all. Hannah Gray, Mayor of Bromley Meets.
Today I'm joined by Nikki Grant from Life in Orpington magazine. This is the first in my first series of podcasts. I'll be meeting small businesses, entrepreneurs, charities, and generally very inspiring people that we can all learn from. So I'll be digging just a little to find out what makes them tick. I'm delighted that you've joined me. So with no further jibber jabber, hi Nikki, and welcome to the first in this series of podcasts. Thank you for agreeing to be my very first one.
Thank you for inviting me, Madam Mayor. I'm really delighted to be here and part of your first podcast.
We don't need to worry about the Madam Mayor bit. Hannah is absolutely fine. Otherwise, it'd be far too formal. Let's just have a nice, a great chat. So we will be talking about Life in Orpington magazine, which I know you're co-editor of, just a little bit later, because I think it's absolutely brilliant that you ladies have outed me, okay? Because this is my new podcast series. You announced it in your magazine. So I think it's only fair that you're the first one on my podcast series. I know it's a bit cruel, but I think it's brilliant. And I'm a big fan of your magazine, as you know. I definitely see it as a coffee table addition to my house. People love picking it up and love flicking it through. And so we'll talk about it in a little bit of detail later. But before we do that, I'd like to go and find out a little bit more about Nikki. So are you a local girl? Did you grow up locally in and around Bromley?
Yes, I did. I've always lived in the Bromley Borough. I went to school in Chislehurst, Elizabeth School for Girls, and then I went on to Orpington College.
Ah, right. So your local schools as well. And how were they back in those days?
They were very different. I'm always saying to my children that I'd love to go back to school now and have a day in the classroom for what they experienced at school. It was so different when I was at school. We were literally just spoken to, the desk school facing forward. I don't know, children, they're so lucky nowadays. It's so much more fun, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed school. I was lucky. It sounds as if you did too. But yeah, it was very difficult, different back in those days. Absolutely. But did you have any hobbies when you were younger? Did you have any sort of great interests that you were into?
Yeah, I think my main interest was music. I've always loved live music. I spent most of my teenage years going to gigs, festivals. London in the 90s, which is where I was growing up, was the rock scene was amazing. So yeah, I spent most of my time at gigs and festivals. Loved music.
I didn't have you down as a rock chick. That's brilliant. I'm conjuring up an image. And would you say that you've still got those kind of hobbies and interests now, or have they changed as you've got a bit older?
Yeah, I love music still. My perfect night out would be watching a live band perform somewhere. But I also play netball now. I've joined a Back to Mum's Netball League with a few other mums from my children's school. We recently joined the league, so we play twice a week, so that's really good fun.
Gosh, in the league, that does sound as if you're pretty good at it. I used to play netball when I was at school. I was goal shooter because I was so tall. But doing it now as a mum, I think I'd probably pull a muscle or twist an ankle or something.
Yeah, we do have a lot of injuries, actually.
Oh, bless. But it does sound like a good thing to be involved in. It keeps you fit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's a bit of sort of downtime as well, a bit of me time, which is brilliant.
Yeah, no, it is. But going back to those teenage years, so what would you tell or advise yourself as a teenager if you could talk to her now? What would you advise her?
I would say to her to always be true to yourself and not to waste time worrying about what people think of you. I think that would be a really good lesson.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? When you're a teenager, you do worry about what other people think of you and where you fit into the great scheme of things amongst your peers, don't you? You worry about that.
That's it, I think. And you only realise that as you get older. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's a really good bit of advice that you'd give yourself if you were a teen, you know, talking to yourself as a teenager. I think that's, yeah. Yeah, don't worry about other people and get on and believe in yourself. That's really good. So jumping forward now, you started life in Orpington magazine with Loretta. So how did you guys actually meet? How did you get to know each other?
Yeah, it's actually quite an interesting story about me and Loretta, because our paths crossed many times before we actually met each other. We both went to the same school. Loretta was in the year above me. And then we were both at Orpington College at the same time, although we never actually met each other there. I think we probably walked past each other a few times. And then both of our first jobs were at Cosmos Holidays in Bromley. So I was a junior graphic designer, and Loretta was working a couple of floors above me as a travel journalist. But we didn't actually meet each other and become friends until a few years ago when our daughters became friends at school, and we became friends through them. So even though our paths crossed many times, we didn't actually become friends until a few years ago.
That is weird and wonderful how these things happen, isn't it? And it's obviously meant to happen as well. So you are the designer of the magazine, is that right?
Yeah.
And Loretta is more the journalist, is that the way you split it?
Yeah, that's right.
And was it your design that actually built the magazine as it looks today? Because I think it looks fantastic. The layout of the magazine is fantastic. And it's very clear. You know, it does look like a glossy mag.
Yeah, we wanted to make something that looks happy and positive to people and that people would want to pick up and read.
Yeah. So how did it happen that you started the magazine Life in Orpington? I mean, what's the history behind it? How did you actually manage to put that together and get it going?
Well, I was actually working with a friend of mine on her Orpington Community magazine, which she started up a few years ago. But unfortunately, she had to give it up for personal reasons. And Loretta had written a few articles for this magazine. I was doing the graphic design for it, and we sort of had it all set up, and we saw it was a really good thing. So we'd both spoken about what a great idea a community magazine was. So we decided to set our own one up.
And so do you just, you got the name, you made the name up, you registered the name, and then just went from there?
Yeah, we did a lot of research. We spent so many times, we were walking up and down Orpington High Street, Loxbottom High Street, Petswood High Street. We did months of research, and before we actually started the magazine, we went out chatting to local businesses, talking to them. We did a little mock-up of the magazine, trying to see if people would be interested. And we had a really good response, actually. People seemed to warm to us. I think because me and Loretta, we're just like two local mums. We're not salespeople.
Yeah, I can see that because I get that from the two of you. You are both very real people. Yeah, you're not salesy people. You're real people. And that's what comes across in the magazine.
Yeah, we just want to be friendly and like let people know what's going on in the area and bring people together a bit. And people seem to like that.
So starting a magazine can't be easy. I mean, how long ago was this that you started to put it together?
We started to put it together in December 2018, and we launched our first magazine in March 2019. We had a lot of support from our families, as most small businesses do. Our children, parents, husbands, friends, they're all out there delivering with us at the weekend. They help us with the accounts. My dad writes the monthly puzzle page. He does the crossword puzzle for us every month. So our families are very involved, as most small businesses are. We also had a lot of help from there were certain key people that helped us as well. For instance, Chandra from Tangent Office Supplies in Orpington. He's been amazing. He supported us right from the start. He introduced us to all the right people. And yeah, he was great.
He's a great networker locally. And I think you've been involved in networking locally, haven't you? Because it takes a community to get a magazine like that off the ground. I mean, that was quite quick from the length of time that you've just said. That was quite quick to get it off the ground. But what kind of, was it a smooth process or was it were there difficulties? These are kind of things that when people listen to this, you know, they'll take heart and think, actually, these things are possible. Mm. And even if there are hiccups along the way, was it quite smooth?
We did work really hard on the magazine to start with. We were literally working 24/7, 7 days a week on it. And we had all our families involved, as I said earlier. Some people were negative about the magazine and they told us not to do it and it will never work. And for me and Loretta, we're the sort of people that if someone tells you you can't do something, it makes us want to do it and prove them wrong. So when anyone did say anything negative to us, we just wanted to do it even more and prove them wrong. So we worked even harder to make it work. It was hard work.
Yeah, you've done that though. Yeah, you've done that. I think you've definitely proved your point, which is brilliant. And as you say, you know, 24/7 starting your own business is a 24/7 journey, isn't it?
You have to put the hours into any startup. But someone did say to us actually when we first started, you can't do everything at once, and don't try and do everything in one go because it will evolve. And so I think that's why we launched the magazine so quickly, because we didn't have everything ready. We just sort of got it going in the end, because otherwise we'd still probably not even have one now. If you keep waiting, you never get things going. So in a way, you just have to do it and you learn along the way.
That's what's happening with me and my podcast.
Exactly. I was just thinking that, exactly the same. You have to just sort of go in a way, and then you do learn along the way, and you're never going to know it all before you start. You have to just get going with things. We had a lot of challenges with the magazine as well, because obviously Loretta was diagnosed with breast cancer just as we launched our first edition. She coped amazingly with that, and we worked together on the magazine. We used to work in the chemo wards while she was actually having her treatment. I'd sit there with my laptop and she'd have her laptop, and we'd sit there working away while she was actually having treatment. So, and we never missed any deadlines. We kept going. So she was brilliant with that.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, Loretta is wonderful, and I'm sure she's been really inspiring. And I'm going to chat with her another time, because she's got her own personal stories that she's been through and how she's come out the other side. And of course, it must have had a huge effect on the launch of your magazine. But it shows how strong the two of you are working together. And the magazine has just grown from strength to strength, because I think it's a really great, great read. I mean, how do you get your articles in there? How do you find people to write things for you and subjects to write about?
Mainly Loretta. She's just got ideas flowing out of her head. When you look at her sometimes, she's just brimming with ideas for the magazine. She's such a great journalist. So she's constantly coming up with ideas and ways to get people involved. We always try to get our advertisers involved in the editorial as well. So we're constantly trying to think of ways, like we've got an Ask the Experts page now in the magazine, where we'll ask an expert, say in childcare, what questions people should be asking when they go and view a childcare setting. We just try and get people involved in the magazine. And Loretta was down in the high street once and she bumped into a road sweeper, so she interviewed him for the magazine, just sort of trying to get all local people involved, which is what it's all about.
That's brilliant. And you also interviewed, didn't you, Gareth, the window cleaner, the guy that used to be in the army, and the Royal British Legion have sponsored him, and he's just changed his life around and started up on his own business. Those stories are brilliant and everybody wants to read about those. They're really good.
Yeah, we have a Final Thought page, and that's really popular as well. And for people to see any inspirational, positive story people can, that they want to shout about, it's a great page in the magazine.
So talking about inspiration, that leads me on. So, I mean, besides our lovely Loretta, who can't help but inspire everyone, she's come through with such strength. And as I said, I'll interview her hopefully on another time. But can you give me someone that you'd say has inspired you in your life?
I think the main people that inspire me is my children, actually. Every day they inspire me. My son, he's so strong-willed and determined. And my daughter, she's the most hardworking and positive person I know. She's only 12 years old, but she's constantly pushing herself to achieve more. And I think my granddad also inspired me. He was an entrepreneur and he had his own business in the 60s. And his work ethics were work hard, play hard. And he followed that. Yeah. And he definitely enjoyed his life. So he's definitely an inspiration.
They were a different generation, weren't they? They were really made of tough stuff. It's fantastic. And I agree, you know, we can always learn from our kids. We can always learn from our children. So what's been your strategy then, talking about looking at the world? What's been your strategy personally during this pandemic? I mean, how have you been able to thrive and not just survive?
I think me and Loretta, we've always been very positive people, and our magazine is all about happy, inspiring news. We try not to focus on anything negative. And during the pandemic, so many amazing stories came to our attention. of people adapting through the pandemic. They were people just doing amazing things.
Because that's the thing we found in this pandemic, haven't we? That the community, the local community, have really pulled together. It's one of the things that has come out of this awful pandemic for people. And we mustn't forget, some people have had a horrific time of it.
Definitely.
But locally, we are all, you know, pulling together still. And I hope that's something that we never lose, because it has been so special, and people knowing each other in each other's communities, and you say along each other's roads, that's a really big thing.
I've never known all my neighbours as much as I do now. It's brilliant. Actually speaking to them all now, we all got to know each other, even just doing the class every Thursday night, wasn't it?
Yes,
that,
it was.
That really got brought people together, and they're talking about doing their clap for Remembrance Sunday now, and but things like that are brilliant. It just keeps people together, doesn't it?
So when you do your graphic design then, who do you do that for? Are they a variety of customers? And what kind of graphic design do you do? Do you do branding, or do you do, you know, artwork, or what sort of stuff do you do?
Yeah, I've been a graphic freelance graphic designer now since my daughter was born, so for about 13 years now. So I've got quite a few customers I've worked on for a long time. I do a few different magazines. I do an aromatherapy magazine. I do some charity journals. I do branding, artwork, so any sort of graphic design, really. But my main passion is sort of magazine design, which is what I love doing. So that's another where the magazine came from as well.
Well, that's why it's so good then, because you obviously can see that's why you've got a passion for it. And that's really good. So if people needed to, so supposing someone wants to put an advert in your magazine, or they wanted to get some literature done themselves, then they could come to you as a freelancer, and you could actually either design them an advert to go in your magazine, or you could design them some artwork maybe for their own leaflets and brochures and things.
Yeah, definitely. And I have done that. Someone actually sent us a message once saying about our magazine and how much they loved it. It's a local resident. And they said on it, even the adverts are interesting. And that made me and Loretta so happy, because if someone sends in an advert that's not a good design, I will always redesign it. I can't have a bad design going in the magazine, because it's not good for our magazine. It's not good for our advertiser. So we do work really hard on getting our customers' adverts right as well. And we want it to work for them. Otherwise, it's not good for us or them. So we try really hard for our advertisers to do the best we can for them. And if that means redesigning their advert, we'll do that. So
that's going above and beyond, isn't it? So, I mean, that's why it is as it is, and it works as well as it does. I don't have another magazine that does that, actually, that says, hang on a minute, this advert isn't quite right. So let me have a little jig of it around and see if I can make it a bit better. I don't know anyone else that does that.
We have to, because sometimes they come in and the text is so small, it just wouldn't be read. So it just wouldn't work for them, and we want it to work for our customers. So we do really try. We go back and we try and get the advert right for people.
That's fantastic. That is really, yeah, see, that's what makes a difference. That is what makes all the difference. That's why you are who you are. So along with all of the support locally that you've had for the magazine, you know, for the thriving and not just surviving and all the people's input, have you had any other kind of strategies that you two have looked at to make sure that you really are thriving?
Yeah, I think the magazine is both me and Loretta's passion, and we both love the magazine. But I think the pandemic taught us not to put all your eggs in one basket. So we've both set up, I already had another business running my graphic design business, and she's set up a couple of other businesses. She's doing video marketing now and some natural skincare products. So it taught us to diversify a bit and have other things on the go, not just one thing.
So it's good to have like multiple income streams. That's something I say to my son all the time. But he's got it. He's got it now. He agrees that it's a good thing to have, because, you know, whenever these things strike, if you've got some other money coming in and you're both using your talents elsewhere as well as together, because I know the magazine, as you just said, is your passion. But to have other strings to your bow is a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, for another income, it's important, especially if you're self-employed as well.
Coming to the final question then, just recapping back to the teenage girl. So going back to the teenage girl that you advised earlier, what do you think, turning it around, what do you think she would think of you now, and how would she describe you now?
I think she would be very impressed that I was talking to the mayor of Bromley. Because I was always very shy when I was younger, and I think she'd be really proud that I've pushed myself out of my comfort zone to achieve my dreams.
I think that is a really good thing. They can look forward and they can see you as a fine example of someone that doesn't let these things hold them back, even if they're shy, and you just push forward. And you've got a great teammate in Loretta, and that's really helped.
Yeah, she's pushed me a lot, actually. She's always behind me, pushing me.
Well, I think you help each other, don't you? You were just saying that, you know, you were there with her while she was going through her treatment. So you've been helping each other. That's a bond that will just go on forever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I've loved talking to you, about your magazine. And we've mentioned Loretta, and as I said, she'll come on a podcast, I hope, another time. So thank you so much for joining me today. And I really wish you all the best success. The magazine is a fabulous magazine. As you know, I'm a big fan. And if there's anything more that I can do, we just need to remind everybody to keep buying local and to support you. And if there's anything else I can do, please let me know. But thank you so much for joining me today, Nikki.
Thank you, Hannah. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me to your first podcast.
Thank you for joining me today. That was the first in the series. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.